And we're live.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 91 of Fans of Power. I am Joe Amato, and I'm here with my partner in crime, Tyler T-Rex Baker. What's up, T-Rex?
I'm doing just fine, man. I'm anxious to dig into this particular episode tonight, as we will soon get going here. But quite excited for tonight's episode. That's my current motivation, my current mindset right now is anxious to really dig into the topics we got going for tonight. And I'll mention more about this towards the end. But I got some good updates about the Mini Comic Leech project that I haven't had a whole lot to report on the last several weeks. And I'll touch more on that towards the end of the show. But I'm very, very excited to get going here to begin this latest episode here.
Yeah, because like I said, we have, a few topics. Of course, we'll have a character profile. We're going to talk about some stuff from the past. But I wanted to start off first with just something I was just doing on my Facebook page. And not only my Facebook page, but there was multiple groups that I, do admin work. I just wanted to do a little test of seeing what fans might be wanting to see for classics. Just to see interest, comparing one Facebook group to another, or a Facebook group. And I asked them, what would they want to see more? Here was how I phrased the question. I said, what characters would you like to see Super 7 make more of when it comes to Masters of the Universe classic style figures? And I gave options of, the 1987 movie, if they get the rights, of course. Then I mentioned vintage mini-comic characters, Filmation Masters for He-Man, Filmation Princess of Power, New Adventures, MYP 2000X stuff, and I said other. Well, just one example, I put it in a group called Motu Nation, and like I said, I haven't continued to keep promoting it. I just put it up there, but so far, out of 48 people have chose the top thing they want. They do want the rights for the Masters of the Universe movie. That's what they want to see. That's their top. So I was like, look at this. You don't see this usually everywhere. Next under that came Vintage Mini Comics that had 23 people. Then under that came Filmation Masters of the Universe that has 22. New Adventures came under that. That had five. Yeah, I could still promote this more because this has only been a couple days. So this hasn't been a month or two. I can leave this up longer to see. And so far, like I said, even New Adventures is up, pretty high, which usually gets kicked in the face, has five voted there. Five voted for MYP in 2000X style figures. And then under that was Filmation Princess of Power with three. And then under that was Other with three. So basically they tied. But I was like, what a vast difference that was. So that was that group in particular. And then I'll just say the other one real quick, which is the smaller group, the Ultimate group. Their top choice was they want more vintage mini comic characters. There was 16 people voted there. Then under that, 14 came the movie. Under that came Filmation Masters of the Universe with 12. Under that came Filmation Princess of Power with 7, then New Adventures with 6, MYP with 5, and Other 1. But, isn't that nuts? Like I said, these are just two groups, for examples. But look at the top two of what people are wanting the most to see in figure form.
Well, the top three that you're mentioning from Filmation, Mini Comics, and Movie, me personally, and a Super 7, here's this by any chance, Movie takes priority over everything. The 87 movie is However, Filmation, I want Azrog and Spider and Dragoon and Montork and Driel and the Widgets. List goes on and on. I want a sky tree would be really cool to see.
Oh, good God, that'd be insane.
I want Garn. I want black Garn, like African American Garn. I want Native American Garn. There's a lot of mini comic stuff.
Prince Daycon, you can give us the Masters of Power demons.
I want Prince Daycon, man. That would be so badass to be able to have a Prince Daycon and his beautiful woman with him, too. I can't remember what her name was. And I don't even know if she's even given a name, to be honest. But she probably is. I don't have that part memorized. But she looks great to me. And the wizard that's with Geldor as well. I apologize for not knowing that one either. But Prince Daycon definitely needs to be done in classics form, man.
Yeah, and also, there's the Masks of Power demons. You could even have some of the beasts. You could have the ice. You can have their version of the Ice Hacker. You could have their version of the Manticore. There's plenty, but I just like seeing, I was like, wow, look at what led in both polls in two different groups, even though their order was different, but it was the movie rights they hoped for, then Minicomics, and Filmation He-Man. Those are the top three in all those groups so far. So, like I said, I was just conducting a little poll, and I started one today, basically showing 12 characters, particular characters from Filmation Masters of the Universe.
I'm very glad to see certain people, not everybody, but certain people put included Azrog in their group of five. I'm like, you sure get a blue ribbon for that.
Yeah, because I'm not done. Of course, I'm going to continue with other 12s, and then I'll just eliminate them down. But it's, again, different to see. Look what fans are choosing in these groups. So that's
Dragoon is pretty common. I was glad to see that, like, the majority of everybody.
Yeah.
Aside from people are just like, none. I don't want none of these. Well, no.
Yeah, it unfortunately happens. But yeah, like in my next one, I'll be putting up other characters. I'll be putting up Malaktha. Yeah, I'll put in
Malak. I cannot figure out for the life of me why certain people bitch complain about the idea of getting Malaktha.
I love Malaktha. I mean, he's, like I said, he's their archaeologist. He's in plenty of episodes. I mean, that's another character that is sorely needed. And especially to complete, if you wanted to have the, from like the House of Shakoti, getting some of the main core characters.
I would love to have a Stanlin figure. Because, you know, children characters are not very good. But I like Stanlin a lot. And I love to have a two-pack of Malaktha and Stanlin, you know.
Yeah.
Just as a small little pack-in figure, something like that. But I hope you have intentions of doing a New Adventures.
I'm not done. I
got to see Galactic Guardians and the rest of the mutants represented in a poll. Like, you know, I have got to see that.
Well, there's always a method to my madness. Because like I said, I'm still going to do more from Filmation He-Man. Then I'm going to hit Princess of Power. I'm hitting New Adventures. I'm hitting everything. Then after all of those are done, I'm going to start grouping them, like, out of these 12. And I'm going to mix some of the mini-comics.
It's like, almost like a big tournament. You're going to...
Yeah.
You're setting up these large, you know... small games, and then the winners of those games are coming together for the really big, you know, tournament, so to speak. Kind of like that Toy Fair tussle back in, like, 2001 or 2000 or something like that. Do you remember that?
I don't. No, I don't.
Oh, well, this praises just He-Man, because this excited me so much when I saw that Toy Fair. For people who don't remember, Toy Fair was this monthly magazine that Wizard did. It was all about toys, had a price guide. They did, you know, retrospects on 80s toy lines, including He-Man. But they did this Toy Fair tussle, and they featured it on a variety of websites back in, I think it was 2000, 2001. And He-Man.org, I think, ran this poll. This was eons ago, years and years ago.
Okay.
And at one point, He-Man was they set up the brackets, because once it was all over, you got to see the entire tournament. If you didn't see all the websites. And He-Man went off against Captain Power in the first round, crushed him. Went against the Turtles. I voted in that particular month against the Turtles. As blasphemous as that might be to most people, but He-Man takes priority.
Okay.
They beat Turtles. Then they took on G.I. Joe and beat the Joes.
And who beat them? Transformers, probably?
It came down to He-Man and Transformers, and they did lose to Transformers.
Yeah, I would assume, yeah.
But I've still got that entire bracket and article. I saved that. And
awesome.
It was so much fun to go back and look at the brackets of all the classic 80s and 90s toy lines that were competing in this tournament. Like, Transformers beat Star Wars. It comes down to, you know, flesh against metal. It was just – and I like Transformers, so I was not brokenhearted about it. But it was just Joe doing that just makes me think of that incredibly kick-ass bracket tournament, the Toy Fair Tussle. And I remember the promotional pictures had a wrestling ring with all these action figures from Street Fighter, He-Man, Turtle. They're all in this wrestling ring beating the hell out of each other. Oh, it was
that's pretty cool.
It's off track, but this is what I want to see Joe do. I want to see him Photoshop like this big Royal Rumble match with all of these characters fighting for a spot to, like, hey, Super 7, we want to be next.
Yeah, I'll keep eliminating. I'll keep, like I said, I'm going to keep knocking them down. But you know what's
funny? It's like a Survivor Series tournament from like 1990. Like, all the survivors are going into this one last match. Who will survive and go on to become classicized in Super 7?
Yeah, back in the good old days. Real quick, one other thing. I don't think it was Toy Fair, but it might have been Wizard in particular. You know, because, well, you know, like I said, they put out both their magazines. I remember going to the store and, you know, some of them were cellophane. You know how they used to bag those magazines to where you couldn't open a lot of them?
Yeah. You pray that. Crummy issue. We're pissed off about about it.
Exactly. And I would always pray, because I didn't have the money to always be buying the magazine. I prayed somebody opened it up and it had it sitting out, and I'd get lucky once in a while. Well, can't remember if it was, this was the case, but I remember they voted the most powerful weapons in all of comic or, you know, fiction history. And what amazed me was the power sword, He-Man's power sword, came in at number 2, only behind the Green Lantern's ring. I was shocked. I was like, wow. I mean, I couldn't believe that He-Man's sword came in at number 2 out of everything they could think of. So that's kind of weird. You know, you wonder, I didn't follow the issues before that. I don't know if that was a monthly thing, who came up with this, but it was kind of I was like, hey, He-Man got some, you know, representation. And that's at a time when, you know, He-Man was still not really even being talked about. I couldn't even remember if the new cartoon, the MYP cartoon, was out at the time.
And that's what made getting magazines like Wizard and Toy Fair, and they would mention He-Man, that much bigger of a deal, because, you know, because I remember getting, like, when Mattel announced that they were going to do the commemorative figures, there was no new cartoon. This was probably a couple years before, and it was a big deal to see them do a big article about He-Man and the commemorative figures with this nice little diorama set with the characters that were going to be released. And the article's praising the figures and talking about, you know, what can we expect from the commemorative line. And it was just, you know, it was a big deal to see a big article, you know, with that went over like 2, 3, 4 pages talking about He-Man in a current day magazine. And I would pick up magazines a lot at Barnes and Noble, Books to Me, and they had anything about He-Man, I would pick it up. Even if it was a small article or picture, I'd pick it up. And
yeah, because when you're getting nothing, that's what I mean. When you're getting nothing, you love it. That's why I think I love Toy Fair so much. Toy Fair always like taking like action figures and making a goofy little story at the back of the magazine
It was like that Twisted Mego, Twisted Toy Fair Theater. And they used one of the Mego figures. And they did two featuring He-Man characters. And they were not making fun of He-Man, but they did do a fun thing of a Spider-Man telling Skeletor, you know, He-Man and Prince Adam are the same guy, you know.
Oh, okay.
And it shows like Skeletor like kind of stopping to think, and the little eyebrows, like Play-Doh eyebrows, like show emotion. He just takes a broadsword, knocks on Castle Grayskull, and impales Prince Adam right there on the spot.
Yeah, I like that stuff. I liked it. And they would,
humor, I'm not a fan of, but I thought that was a pretty cute comic strip.
And sometimes it was just a panel. Sometimes it would just be one little square panel somewhere in the back of the magazine. Might even be around the price guide. And they would just have maybe Skeletor there with Darth Vader.
They did a lot of the price guide, too. I remember they did a lot of those pictures like that in the price guide.
Yeah, and they would say something to them, like they might have Skeletor saying some insult to Darth Vader, or like they were like trying to be buddies or chummy. But yeah, that was pretty cool. That was just kind of spur of the moment, talking about the mold things. But that was cool. Now, one of the topics I guess we're going to talk about also is, you know, you're starting to see on TV, it's always the back to school stuff for kids. It's that time, getting close to that time for them to start getting their stuff, their backpacks, everything. And you're seeing the commercials. You're seeing the kids wearing their Superman stuff, you know, like a T-shirt. I think you might even seen this one commercial. They show the actual superheroes. You see Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Power Rangers. And then when it goes past one panel, it's kids all wearing T-shirts, which makes me think, of course, what we had growing up, which, again, that's why we really would love, I guess, sure, we always say the Masters of the Universe movie or cartoon, maybe it wouldn't be as amazing if they make one now. I really hope they would make one and it would be good, because, again,
no, it would probably suck.
Exactly. I'm like pushing it, because, again, I would hope that it would be enough to create a new generation of fans, because, man, I think all that cool stuff we had, you know, I remember, you know, going to school, not only having the lunchboxes, which we'll get to in a bit, but, you know, you'd have your pens, you had pencils, they had the portfolio folders, which I worn to the ground. I mean, I used that so much that I don't have that. The reason I don't have that is because it just deteriorated, because I tried to use it every year until it was just done. They had rulers, they had markers, but I would just like to see it again. Just for example, like, here are some things. Now, some of these are ones that, like, these are ones that, this one I got off of eBay. This is the good old metal lunchbox. I mean, again, you got this one too, because I know what I'm gonna get to eventually. The same one.
This,
there you go.
This is my personal favorite. This is because Roboto's on it with the land shark. So that's a personal favorite of the three that were released. That was a personal favorite.
No, it was a good one. Then there's this one that had the evil horde and had that kind of sticker, which was cool, which is unique art. Then there was this one that has Stratos and Evil Lynn and Trapjaw, and, you know, which was cool. But now Now it's time to get to my favorite. This next one. This is the one that I took to school every day. This has to be my favorite, just because I had this for years that I'd take to school. I mean, I think I stopped taking it when I got to maybe junior high, because maybe it wasn't cool to have metal lunchboxes or lunchboxes. You had to start using paper bags. But I can guarantee you all through grade school, I took this every day. And you know what's funny is, you know how we're always talking about how the art is such an impact of Masters of the Universe 2? I mean, I would sit there and stare at this image of this battle with Skeletor, Beastman, He-Man. And just as I'm sitting there eating lunch, I'm just staring at this the whole time, just envisioning a story. Like, you know, I'm trying to create an epic story, and I felt like so proud, like, ain't I the cool kid? I made sure I had it sitting so everybody could kind of see it, but I don't, the one you showed me, yours, is that the one that you took to school? Did you have a childhood one that you always took, or what?
The one you're holding right there was my first time ever seeing a He-Man lunchbox. That one. By the time I got to elementary school, it was 1989, the tail end of the 80s, and you know, the new Adventures of He-Man totally would be coming out then, and nobody from kindergarten to first grade carried anything He-Man related. Greg Cobbs brought it in second grade, and for years, like I said, I was so hungry for He-Man stuff. I knew there had to be a He-Man lunchbox among so many other things, and I forgot what day it was. I think it wasn't all the time, but I remember he brought it in. And when we came into class, you had to set a lot of your lunch, like your stuff up on this kind of counter table. And I remember seeing that and sitting at my desk and just kind of go into the trance seeing, because I had never seen a He-Man lunchbox. And it was one of those things where, and I got tons of stories of seeing other kids with He-Man stuff, you know, from daycare into elementary school.
You weren't a thief, but you wanted to steal that lunchbox, didn't you? Admit it.
I probably did, because I can't remember what lunchbox I was carrying that year, but it was the one that you were holding, which I have now. And just remember sitting at it from afar, I'm thinking, he probably didn't even like He-Man. I bet it's his brother's. I bet, right. I bet he's used older brother's lunchbox here to take his lunch to school. He probably doesn't even want it. And you always worry, oddly enough, the same kid, Greg Cobbs, I was sitting at my desk drawing Clawful one day. I just was trying to draw, you know, the muscular anatomy. You know, I was really big into comic books, but He-Man still was my number one thing. I'm still into, in second grade, this is like 1992. Mm-hmm. And I'm drawing Clawful, and he comes by and goes, hey, what are those titties? Hey, everyone, Tyler's drawing titties over here. And I was drawing pectoral muscles, but he was yelling out, titties.
There it is.
I was sitting at my desk just like, oh my God, I can't believe he's doing this right now.
Did the teacher come over and look and see what you were doing?
No, it wasn't so loud to where Miss Simpkins, because she was a scary looking woman anyway. She made me stay in class for not coloring my clouds properly or something like that, and a drawing of her we had to do for Halloween. Bunch of BS. Anyway, it wasn't that troublesome, but it was just. And Greg would do this again throughout elementary school at various periods, where he would start giggling and laughing like obnoxiously about something that's like, you know, there's nothing wrong here. But I'll never forget that, being afraid people would have thought I was drawing, you know, boobs on a Clawful character. Of course, no one in there would have known it was Clawful, but that's what I was trying to draw. And
you should have knocked him out and stole his lunchbox.
Memory, but I'm sure it makes for a great story to tell. Like,
that's so that is, because, you know, my art, you know, me drawing is just terrible. I mean, when I was younger, I used to try to just draw He-Man figures all the time. It wasn't based off the cartoon. I always looked at my action figures. So everything I did was in that same pose, looking straight ahead like this, or maybe an arm up, because I knew nothing of perspective, like a fist coming at you like this. I couldn't do angles. It's always just standing. And I still, they're not around me now. They're in another room. Maybe next week I can show, but I still have those big drawings I did. I would do them, like, sometimes when we had art class, we'd have big manila construction paper that we would draw on and color in. And I still have them. I always drew these weird creatures. It was never actually He-Man or Skeletor. It was just something in that body design. And I kind of was obsessed with just monsters. And I drew this one thing. I remember this one big sea creature. He had a big upper body, and his lower body was kind of like some kind of tail with some like spikes on it. And I had like a guy came, he somehow was like rowing a boat, and this one pitcher told a story of like he came through a warp hole or some time portal, and he came to somewhere he didn't understand, and he was like, is this the Twilight Zone? It was just so corny, but I still have that. I still have a lot of my drawings of that, and the only other thing, isn't it, it's obvious, but we draw Friday the 13th stuff, and I drew this Jason bear. I had Jason as a bear, and he decapitated somebody and is holding this bloody head, and you would think that it's pretty sick, like a teacher would think, you know, Joe, why are you drawing decapitated things and blood? And, you know, I'm going to have to contact your parents. But, you know, she knew, you know, the things I liked and didn't see it sadistically. But, yeah, it's weird. The things in school, it's just, you know, the only things I've ever kept or were able to keep, like I said, beyond this lunchbox and a couple of those little erasers was I remember using this all the time. And that's the Grayskull pencil sharpener. So I love taking my pencils and just... Yeah, I didn't know yet. I love this. So I kept that, kept the lunch boxes and a couple of the character erasers. I took those to school, and, you know, one time I started doing a little erasing, but I was like, I don't want to wreck this. I don't think that's the purpose of this. It's, you know, the rubber eraser figures, but I don't think they were meant to be actual erasure with your work. But I did have that one. It was like the image of He-Man that's used almost for all merchandise where you stand there, has a shield. You know, if you've seen it. Well, that one was an actual eraser. I used that in a couple of pencils. But now, the books, I didn't get to see a lot of the storybooks in my school library.
Oh, boy.
Now, I know, like I said, you brought up stories. Like me, I remember getting them at the stores, but you must have had a blast. What is your story about these books?
Yeah, this didn't happen till fifth grade. So this would have been 1994, I think. Or 94, I think. Anyway, our library, for the most part, we always had library time in elementary school. Like, it was a particular day of the week, we'd go upstairs to the library and check out. And there was one side of the library that most of the kids just never went to. It was just one big room. And, you know, books, like a lot of the children's books were along the window on these lower shelves where they had, like, Return of the Jedi, like Battle for Endor and Pinocchio and stuff.
Right.
I just wandered over to the adult section, which... really, it was not really adult, but in my eyes, like, you know, so this is where the older kids would check out books.
All right.
And just kind of looking around, and I just see this kind of weird color, like a cream color, like hardcover, like, you know, bookend.
Okay.
With no title on it. And for some reason, I just kind of glanced at that, just kind of swapped, pulled it out, and it was the Rock Warriors.
No way.
And I like I said, never even heard that there was a Rock Warriors book, let alone see that it's still in my elementary school library.
Uh-huh.
And I could not believe it. I was like, oh my God.
You wanted to check it out and probably have it at your house all the time, huh?
And it got to where I found Rock Warriors. And I looked around, I found Secret of the Dragon's Egg. I looked around more, I found the Magic Mirrors. I looked around much later on at a different date that year and found the Sword of She-Ra.
Wow.
And it was, I could not believe it. And that's where I saw Goatman for the first time, was checking out Secret of the Dragon's Egg.
Okay.
The Magic Mirrors had the big epic fight scene with Clawful and Cobra Khan and Whiplash and Fisto and so on. And I was just checking them out all the time. Oh, again and again and again and again. And then it got where I would be so desperate, and I didn't want the other kids to see that I was checking out He-Man books. I remember one particular time, we had like some downtime in class, and I requested to walk to the library to go. And I went, took my backpack, or maybe I didn't know because I couldn't do that. Anyway, I went to the library to check out the Magic Mirrors with nobody else around. And I'd been doing it for a while, but I got to the point where I'm like, Greg is going to make fun of me for this. Or Brent Farley, he was like this little short, you know, shrimp guy that just loved to mouth off. You could have just smacked him, but, you know, you get in trouble for that kind of stuff.
So these two annoying guys.
To avoid anybody seeing this and, you know, going back and checking. And I did this religiously throughout fifth grade once I realized that there were, you know, these four or five different He-Man books to check out in there. And that same year, I was talking to some of my other classmates. One other guy was in my class, and the guy that was a grade below me about He-Man toys. And one guy had, like, the He-Man 3D wall plaque, which I still have to this day.
Yeah.
He said he didn't want it anymore, and I think I traded him something current, like a current toy for it. He brought it to school, and We had to like sneak the bag to like the closet where our coats and backpacks were at because I don't want people to see me getting this He-Man.
Plaque. You know what's funny? Hold on. I can picture this. Everybody's seeing Tyler always disappearing, wondering where he's going. And of course, you're going to the library to get books. They see you sneaking into a closet, wondering what you're doing. They probably thought, is this guy doing drug deals? And all Tyler is doing is sneaking out books that he's reading.
I think that's why I was caught. It was like, you're like caught in the spotlight. You know, it was.
But to me, you're like, like
by that point,
here you go, man.
Kids in my grade were collecting baseball cards and sport cards and. You know, I'm still into He-Man in fifth grade, along with, you know, occasionally watching Power Rangers, but to kind of getting out of that the same year. But I'm into comic books and superheroes, and wasn't a whole lot of people in my school that were into that stuff. So you just kind of were made to feel like if you were caught with anything, you know, toy related or action figures, you're considered a dork. And making deals with Andrew Mason, he was a grade below me, but he had the same math class, and he told me he had some He-Man figures that his brother didn't want anymore than he had, and he was describing them to me. I'm like, I'll trade you my Predator clan leader for what, which was at the time, I didn't know it, but the elephant guy, Snout Spout, and he brought Zodak. And I got Zodak and Snout Spout for the Kenner Toys Predator clan leader in fifth grade. Like, I'm making these deals with people and stuff like that, and you know, that was some stories from fifth grade, and I got so many like He-Man related stories from school. A lot of them were seeing like toys that I had never seen before. Like I saw the Sorceress in daycare. One of the girls in my daycare class had the Sorceress. I'm like, far like always, because I'm always afraid to approach people. Where did you get that? You know,
it's insane when you're talking about those memories, because I had to pay a girl for Puffy. I think it was Puffy stickers.
The Rice Krispie Puffy stickers?
Yes, exactly, because that's the thing. I hated Rice Krispies. We did not get Rice Krispies in our house. It was, to me, the just grossest, nastiest, bland cereal. The time had it, I remember I would take sugar and just pour sugar over and over. I was like, nothing helps this. So she came in one day, and she had these. I was like, those He-Man stickers? She said, yeah. I was like, well, where'd you get them? She's like, I got them in Rice Krispies. I was like, huh? I was like, can I have them? She was like, you give me some money. I was like, you're gonna make me pay, you know, because we're supposed to be good, you know, good friends and everything. She was like, yeah. So I always had to get her, you know, like 50 cents for each little sticker she would find, because she said there's supposed to be more, So she was my pusher for stickers, for the Puffy stickers and the Rice Krispies. So I became obsessed. I'm wanting, you know, to know more. I'd go to the store then, see what other things had this, what other things had it, because I think there was other cereals. And then it was Nestle Quick, because I still have the Nestle Quick can. That's when they had their stickers that, you know, of course, you open it, you could win, you know, the entire collection. But otherwise, they had those cool stickers inside the can of Nestle Quick. So there was a lot of promotions. But yeah, that's how I found out about the Puffy stickers, was from her just bringing them in randomly and me having to pay for it. I was like, you couldn't even give me them stickers. I was like, if she was a guy, I might have had to hit her. But, well, you know, I could have hit a girl.
But it's cool. And it makes me wonder, like, what other people made deals with classmates to get, you know, He-Man stuff or Ninja Turtles, G.I. Joe, because it was like the story of my life. I would, from daycare to elementary school, I would see kids with action figures that I had never seen before. Like I remember sitting in it when we brought into daycare before you went to your classroom, you sat in this big den room and watched Lassie on this big wooden box TV and Mr. Wizard, and anything was on Nickelodeon. And a guy I still see on occasion to this day had Night Stalker and Jitsu playing with them in the floor. And I was like, that cool Asian guy with the hand, he's got a horse. I'm 3 years old, three years just sitting from afar watching him play with these cool toys. And just
crazy.
And making this full circle here. Come first grade, I'm at a PTO meeting with my mom. And I see Ben's younger brother, Dusty, playing with those same Jitsu and Night Stalker 2-pack in this chair. And I'm thinking, I better just go over there and ask that kid if I can just have those toys, you know, because I'm older and he may just give them to me. And I remember eyeballing him as we're all the parents and the kids are getting up and leaving. I'm just like, where's Dusty at? I got to get that horse and the cool Asian guy.
Did you punk him? Did you go up? You did that thing.
I lost him in the crowd. Plus, he was with his mom too, so it was just one of those things. Like, how the hell am I going to accomplish this? I didn't have like an Ocean's 11 scheme where I get some of my classmates, and you know, we set big, you know, that and
Real quick, I wanted to give
go ahead, quickly
in the chat room. I want to give a shout out to Walter Grayskull, Captain Chronic, and JSP. They're in the chat room right now. So glad to have you here. Finally, like I said, if you have some questions you might do, we'll try to get to that. Apologize. We were just on a roll here. I just noticed, though, the chat room, so I had to click that on to make sure. So appreciate you being here.
But I want to ask you real quick, too, while we're on the subject of school, because did you have any of the He-Man pencils by chance?
Yeah, so I said, I wore my pencils out. I mean, the pencils,
the pencils I'm talking about was like the gold-colored He-Man pencils.
And they had images, like their face or their body. Like
He-Man was holding a battle axe. Skeletor was holding his sword, like, below the palms of his hands.
Yeah, this, like I said, this pencil sharpener, it sharpened the piss out of them. Yeah, they were just, none of them lasted. Just this lasted. And I actually kept the case for my marker. Mine. Yeah, and I kept the case for my...
I did not use mine.
Oh, no? Well, my figure marker pen of He-Man... That at least I kept the box for. So this is another childhood one, but I didn't take to school because it was kind of like an action figure and I was afraid somebody would take it. I was paranoid of this, plus it looks like a toy. And if you had a toy and you were in class, the teacher took it. So I was like, no, I'll never take that. Like I had explained to her about this. She thought I was bringing in a toy with Grayskull. I was like, no, it's a pencil sharpener. And she had to see it in action to understand. And so I was lucky enough to have this because I did imagine that I was playing, sure enough, with Castle Grayskull. It had like a little miniature like piece of paper. Imagine He-Man's going there. You're doing anything. You're desperate as a kid. I'm trying to play with this like it's a toy. But, you know, it's funny when you're talking about figures and stuff. This one, it's not really pertaining to in school, but there was a classmate that I had that he loved G.I. Joe to death. I mean, this kid had every figure. He was like the rich kid in the neighborhood. When something came out, he had it all and then some. Like I even think he had doubles. Well, when Hordak came out and all the Horde and everything, Hordak was the one figure I couldn't find at the store. Could not find him. I just didn't have luck. And then when I went back, he was always gone. So I figured I'd never get him. Well, I went over to my buddy's one time and he's, you know, playing with his G.I. Joes and he had a Hordak. I said, you got a Hordak? I said, I didn't think you collected He-Man. He was like, well, my brother gave him to me. I was like, do you want him? And he was like, not really. And I was like, can I have him? He's like, I could trade you. And this is what's bizarre. He didn't collect He-Man. He had tons of G.I. Joe. I still don't know if this was like for his sister because he never had a single Princess of Power figure in his whole house. He said, I'll trade you if you can find me She-Ra. I was like, okay. Now, I didn't have any Princess of Power. But my girlfriend... This was terrible. This was rotten. I'm not a thief. This is something I felt bad for. And of course, years later, I told her this story. So, well, here's the thing. She'd come over and she'd bring her Princess of Power and figures over and play, you know, with me, with He-Man and all that stuff. And well, one day I said, could you leave She-Ra so I can play with She-Ra with He-Man? She's like, okay. So she left it. The next day I took that She-Ra and I went and traded it to that kid and got Hordak. And the day after that, she came over and she's like, okay. She's like, yeah, my She-Ra. I was like, I thought you have her. She's like, no, I don't have her. I was like, I put her in your screen door. I came over, I opened the screen door, put her on the middle part and shut it. I was like, it wasn't there. She's like, no. I said, oh my God, somebody must have stole it. And it broke her heart and she had all these other figures. I felt terrible. That was a young kid. I was desperate, Tyler. I needed her. Well, I told her the story years later, as you know, like I said, we got about around 2021 to where I figured, okay, she'll be cool about it. She's like, you stole from me? She said you stole. Like, you know, she's freaking out and laughing. And she's like, you're breaking my heart. It's terrible. I felt
probably
so
the
horrible.
Reason Joe wears the mask because this woman dismantled his face. He's come up with this whole like gimmick of like, I wear the mask and maybe look cool and I stand there, hey guys.
She threw Boric ass
the hell out of him over that in a back alley, and he witnessed all this like a doctor that's been fired, kind of like the doctor in the back alley of Batman 1989.
Exactly. Joe, I was
Joe's face, and Joe's like, mayor,
and I'm. Well, anyway,
he comes in and puts on his mask and.
That's how it started. That's why the smile. But so I felt
all through school, little Joe Amano's walking around, you know, or no, as an adult. No, I take the bank. That's what Joe goes to the grocery store wearing the mask. He goes to the bank, flirts with girls at the bank, wearing the mask. It's all about the mask. The mask.
It's all
is
about
like
the mask. So years later, I did find her another one. And to give it back to her. So I've found one, bought
she
one.
Gave you back.
Wait, what's that?
She probably like took all your facial parts, your nose, your ears. Like, all right, I'll give you the nose back. I'll trade you your nose for our brand new She-Ra figure.
For the new She-Ra. So I made good on that. So, yes, that whole school story.
I love girls since daycare. I never once pulled a stunt like that on any girl that I had a thing for. No. I respected women too much even back then to do something like that. You, sir, are the scum.
I am the scum of the earth. You're right. It was desperation, man. I needed that figure. I needed it. So that's how I got my Hordak, and I still have that. I don't consider it really stolen. I traded for it, and I made good for it years later. So, you know, it's kind of like I bought it.
Well,
you know,
Cassandra says it's not a lie if you believe it, and that's what you're right. Doing right.
I'm trying to make good by it. So, yeah, so that's that. But, I see all these fun stories. This is what I hope, again, maybe could happen for a new generation.
To promote this, you need to do, like, something from Back to School, like with Rodney Dangerfield and Sam Kinison with, like, a He-Man lunchbox and a scene from one of those movies or something like that. We go back to school with Masters of the Universe, you know.
Yeah, I got
to
do something crazy. So, hopefully, again, like I said, a new generation can have that because, I mean, that. Like I said, they have Turtles, they have Transformers, they have all the DC Marvel stuff.
Yeah,
everything
they have phase Transformers. They don't have, you know, I haven't looked. Of course, the idea, even when I see back to school commercials to this day, it's nauseating because I used to get so scared and freaked out. Like, great, it's right around the corner. But the only cool thing you got out of it was when you went to your local department store and like, I get to pick up my new folders and some new T-shirts with some cool stuff on it and lunchbox and all that stuff. But I can't imagine. Maybe they have the same kind of magic that we do when they buy, like.
I think, like I said, I'm sure they do. No, I'm sure they do. Like I said, because that's their stuff. They don't know, you know, like I said.
Would you look back at the variety of stuff that, you know, I mean, just and I mean, it was like, only, like today it's only like maybe two or three really popular toy lines. The rest of it's just kind of like, I don't know. I mean, back then you're looking, not only you have He-Man school supplies, you've got Transformers, you've got Thundercats, you got G.I. Joe, you've got Silverhawks. You've got, you know, you Brave Star lunchboxes and stuff like that. You've got probably Visionaries, you know, maybe even Dino Riders and Bionic Six. You just feel like there was such a wide variety, even with school supplies and clothing of what, you know, young boys could pick out and say, that represents me this year for school. I want the Brave Star lunchbox. I want the Evil Horde lunchbox with He-Man. Like, that's what I want this year for third grade. That says me.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, they have, like I said, their versions of stuff.
Some kid in the same elementary school, maybe 2-3 years younger than me, was walking. His parents dropped him off. He was wearing the He-Man versus Triclops raincoat. What hell is that?
Yeah.
I've never seen that before.
Exactly. Yeah. They had
raincoat. My mom gave it away, and she does regret that to this day.
Yep, they had those. They had boots. They had shoes. I mean, there was gloves, mittens. I mean, you know, whatever you want to call them. Yeah, there was a lot of stuff. So you could represent back then. One more person, real quick. Chris Pawson. He's in the chat room. So thank
you
for joining
Chris,
us.
Good to see you. Hadn't seen Chris in a while.
Yeah, good to see him and everybody else that's in there right now. So, like I said, we have a little full chat room right now, people. But, no, so that's, like I said, that's all of the stuff from, you know, back to, you know, the school days for Masters of the Universe.
I still got more stories to share from school I have not shared. So we can always do a thing with people like this.
Definitely, definitely. But before we hit our character profile of Mantenna, that's going to be our character profile, wanted to mention about... I think it was Captain Chronic. I think it was in the chat room last week who asked us about video games. Did we have any of the video games back then? What were our thoughts on them? Well, I remember having for Intellivision and Atari, I had the Masters of the Universe game. And not saying because of limitations of graphics, because back then that was our graphics. So that's what we had. We didn't sit there and say, oh, this looks bad, this is horrible. But it was just, I didn't enjoy that game. I remember being so let down. It felt so... it just wasn't entertaining. You're in the Wind Raider, you're dropping I don't even know what in God's name you're doing. Then you get to a level where you're trying to like deflect blasts from Skeletor and move back and forth. Then you engage in a quick battle with them and you go past. But it was just so repetitive, wasn't entertaining. Those were the only ones for that. And then you can fast forward years later, even though I know there was stuff on some of the other computer systems and then stuff from, you know, even the UK and other countries. I know that there was other games. But when you fast forward, I then go to, I played the one for the Game Boy, I think it was Game Boy Advance. And that was based off of, you know, the MYP cartoon. And I told you, I had no trouble playing that, even though, like, everybody who reviewed the game and the magazine said it's unplayable, it's clunky, you can't play it, it's horrible. I loved that game. I actually thought it was really good, and I could play it fine. Went through, beat that. I remember being super excited, waiting for the PlayStation 2 version. I think it was PlayStation 2 was going to have.
Yeah.
Yep, and dang it, of course, that's when Masters of the Universe, it went off the air, and there went the toys. You know, it was a bad timing, and they didn't bring it here, but they kept it in the UK. And it was a 3D one. It looked fun. Sure, some people could complain again about maybe clunkiness or controls, but I would have loved to play it because I felt like we always got the short end of the stick. Like, Masters of the Universe, its timing just sucked when it came to video games. Like, back in the day of Nintendo and Sega Master System, just as those were kind of coming out and becoming hot and popular, that's when He-Man was slowly starting to fade and eventually went away. So they never got a video game. I wish that, man, if those systems could have came out maybe a year or two earlier, or if Masters of the Universe could have lasted a couple more years, we could have had a good version, a good side-scrolling action-adventure for Nintendo Entertainment System or Sega Master System. But we didn't get it. I feel like He-Man's been cursed with bad timing in games. But what about you in games and Masters of the Universe?
I had always wondered at a young age if there had ever been any He-Man games, but I never played any of the, you know, the older, like the Atari stuff and all the other ones you mentioned. I eventually was aware that, you know, they made one based in the live action movie, and I think it was I remember picking up some old comic books. I think it may have been even the 3-part miniseries that DC had done, and I think an old kind is either one of those or one of those where there was an advertisement for a He-Man video game, which I was like, wow, that's really cool. I mean, like, that they had a He-Man video game back then. I'm looking at the pictures of the graphics. I'm like, doesn't matter. It was a He-Man, you know, video game. I would love to have been, you know, around at that time and old enough to have played that. But I was very excited about the PlayStation 2 game when it was announced, and
yeah.
Could not figure out why the hell have we not gotten this game. And I never did figure out, honestly, until because I never really dug deep about it. I'm sure people were posting all over the place, but honestly, until you had said that the UK, I thought it hadn't been released at all. It was just one of those games that it's coming down the pipeline. I saw screenshots of it. I'm like, can't wait to play this. I've got a PlayStation 2 and I'm a PlayStation guy, and never happened. But my brother did get a Game Boy Advance for, I think, his birthday or Christmas. And knowing that he finally had gotten one, I went to KB Toys at Valley View Mall and picked up the He-Man game. And I didn't beat it, but I enjoyed playing. It got to one point where I couldn't figure out what the hell am I supposed to do. I forgot how many stages it was. And I was glad to get the little mini comic that came with that Emiliano drew.
Yeah, that was like a little 4-page thing. But that was, yeah, that was
cool. Yeah. Clawful, because I think Clawful's the first villain you fought in that game. And that, I think that's what the mini comic illustrates, is the Skeleton Warriors and Clawful and stuff like that. So it was a fun little, you know, game. It's certainly, just because I couldn't bid doesn't mean I didn't enjoy playing it. So it was, but it's not the only game that I feel like has been shortchanged. I mean, you know, Thundercats has never got a great game.
Well, G.I. Joe. Again, I think everything just cursed at that time perfectly. Like, Transformers was released to Nintendo in Japan, but not here. But it was like when Nintendo came out. That's Nintendo and Sega. I mean, I know Sega wasn't as popular as Nintendo, but I mean, still, the Master System, I mean, it was a fantastic system. But video games, when they started coming out, it seemed like that was the end of some of the great 80s cartoons. You know, Transformers, G.I. Joe, Thundercats, Masters of the Universe. Turtles was just becoming hot and trailblazed into the 90s, so they were lucky enough to get video game representation. There was, like, Thundercats was going to be made on some of those computer video game side-scrolling systems. I think it might have made it to some systems. I didn't have all those computer video game systems. I had all the, whatever you want to call it, video game home systems for the TV. But Thundercats did, I think, get some representation. And I couldn't remember if it was a weird translation of another type game to become, you know, Lionel, like, it really wasn't originally going to be a, you know, Thundercats. It was some other thing. I could be absolutely wrong on everything, but I seen it.
You well, G.I. Joe did get 2 Nintendo games. They did get that.
Okay, well, lucky enough, well, that's good that they got them. I never got to play them, but no, but Thundercats, like I said, they were cursed at the time. Same thing as Masters of the Universe. And Transformers didn't get it here either, but they got it in Japan. And, of course, that just blew up in Japan and then came back here. So Transformers has always kind of been around in some capacity. But Masters just has this horrible curse of not getting a game when things are hot, if you will. That's all I can hope is, wow, if we did get
it. I feel like it's not as heartbreaking because of all the stuff that did come out that was He-Man related. I mean, with...
But, you know, there's game players that really, really wanted a Nintendo
but
or a Masters.
I look at this, but it's like I would like to think that somebody with intelligence and genuine appreciation for He-Man, not just, oh, hey, cool, man, it's one of the 80s storylines, man. Rock on, love the 80s, man, cool stuff. And makes this lazy-ass game because they've got the rights to it or something like that. Now, I still carry a flag because the only thing I really want to see is a side-scroll beat him up. You know,
that would be great. I mean, that's a no-brainer.
That's all I'm interested in. Like, I'm not really into role-playing games like RPGs and stuff like that. You know, I don't play video games that much anymore. If you give me a Super Nintendo or a Sega or a regular Nintendo or an arcade machine, you got my attention. I'm not interested in playing current stuff. So it would have to be something where I would have to make arrangements. Okay, so we get a side-scroll He-Man beat him up. I will make sure that I get, you know, a PlayStation 4 or whatever they're up to right now, maybe PlayStation 5 or something like that, or buy it and then go see my brother and play with him or something like that. You know, he's got Xbox. Hell.
Well, it's only hoping, like I said.
That's the only kind of game that I'm really, because I just, that's what I still love to play. When I go to the arcade, I want to play Turtles in Time. I want to play the Spider-Man and the X-Men arcade games. I want to play, you know, Mortal Kombat. I'm more about fighting and stuff like that than going through. And I know that kind of style of game is tremendously popular, especially in this day and age. But
that's what I mean. Retro is new. Everybody, like I said, is into a lot of that, the retro side-scrolling beat-em-ups.
Yeah. Or just something that looks like Final Fight would be my – that would be my – you know, that would make me want to ensure that, okay, I'll either make sure I get it in some – miracle or ask for it for Christmas, a game station or PlayStation or whatever that would allow me to play a side scroll beat 'em up He-Man game. So
someday, like I said, let's hope.
Hell, I'd love to have a t-shirt that looks like Final Fight with He-Man and Manny Faces and Cyclone going down the streets of Eternia and beating up, you know, random, you know, villain warriors, and you got Beastman down at the end of the street, just like the dreadlock guy holding some beautiful girl hostage or something like that, like in Final Fight.
You really are thinking of Final Fight. Yeah, I was going to say.
I love Final Fight. It's a perfect game. And I would love to see a He-Man, like a T-shirt graphic with the characters drawn just like Capcom characters, and Beastman is the guy that comes bursting out, you know, or let you be seeing a lot of the ads. Like it was always that big guy with the blonde dreadlocks, you know. Yeah.
Like I said, it's an independent toy. I mean, sorry, video game creator. They made that side-scrolling fighting beat 'em up Masters Universe game. It's independent. It's by, I think they call them Mugen, Mugen. I think they're the ones that do it.
Is that the one that's got like He-Man and the Sorceress and She-Ra and Man-at-Arms?
Well, you know what? I'm not sure if it's that one, because there's that one that looks like the Filmation style side-scrolling. But then there's this fighting one. I think it's just a one-on-one fighting. I don't know if they side-scroll, but a one-on-one fighting. And that's by Mugen. And I think they even put in like Lion-O to fight. Remember, it's the one you're playing at the arcade. I think it's that one.
Amato Brothers.
Yeah, by the Amato Brothers. But yeah, so, well, there. I mean, Captain Chronic, I hope we kind of like answer your question there, at least on the video game. So,
I didn't have a whole lot of backstory, but I've looked at footage of it. And I'm like, well, it looks cool. I mean, it's 80s stuff. I mean, I'm cool with that. And not one of these guys just like, man, this is stupid, man. I was like, how do they play this one? He's like, no, I'm a purist at heart. You know, I like to romanticize with like what it would have been like to have woken up Christmas morning and gotten the 87 movie video game to play, you know, along with my Blade and Sword and Gwildor that I would have gotten that year. Of course, 87 was a fantastic Christmas for me. Anyway, it was He-Man and Ghostbusters related, but it's a great simple charm to a lot of those games. There's nothing to them. Of course, there wasn't a whole lot to most of those games back then, so you really can't.
Well, you know, like I said, for me, like I said, it was never graphics, because whatever graphics you had for most of the systems, that's what basically they were
all
for that time.
All you had to do was slap the He-Man Chrome logo on a box and you just sold me.
Oh, and that's what happened. That's what happened with the Atari and television. I had both systems and it was the same exact game, but I still had to get it because it said He-Man. So I bought the same game twice, but one had slightly better graphics, you know, than the other. But you were used to the graphics of whatever system. As years went on, of course, you can start seeing how some things can look better and better. I mean, it's just like the game that some people say is one of the worst games in history, E.T. for the Atari. I actually enjoyed that game. I could play it. It was playable. I remember taking that little neck, you know, you'd fall in the hole, you'd get up and you had to, like, you know, phone home. You had to avoid the guy that was chasing you. The I don't know if he was Keys or whoever it was. Some guy was chasing you, but I enjoyed it. I didn't have a problem with playing E.T. It's what you had. It's what was there. But, yeah, that was pretty much a bomb and a stinker and got buried along with other games. I mean, we won't get into that discussion because that's not what this podcast is, but it wasn't just E.T. that was buried in that desert. It was tons of other Atari games. So it wasn't E.T. that killed it. Just they had a documentary on the whole thing. They even dug up to where that stuff was, and you've seen it was just tons of games. But well, that's the end of the video game discussion. So now I'll let you transition into our final topic of our character profile.
To this wonderful character here.
Oh, I didn't know you had a nice case. Jesus.
Yeah, I got this from Zolo World. A little plug for Zolo World, where they sell these $5 plastic cases specifically meant for He-Man figures, like Men on Card. And loose figures as well.
Any dense creases on that? That looks like it's really good shape.
I got this from I bought this when I was in high school from a toy store. I think it was in California, and they were selling – it was an ad I saw in a magazine, and they were selling a lot of their He-Man stuff a lot. You know, it was on pretty – like discount or something, and the guy told me there was a crack on the bubble, and there's a small crack on this side here. But overall, the card is slightly curved, but it looks exactly the same as when I got it in the mail from that store.
And I bet you got it dirt cheap back then when you were in high school. That must have been nice prices.
Well, yeah. Well, not to mention this stuff. I got this and Battle Bones and Whiplash from the same company. Like, I mean, pretty dirt cheap, you know, and along with, you know, I mean, this was at that time where I was any ad that was saying they were selling He-Man toys. I mean, I was getting Clamp Champ for $20. I got Mosquito for $20. The Horde Trooper Men on Card, keep in mind, too.
Oh, wow.
So I was in high school buying these Men on Card figures from these stores. And when toy magazines were in abundance back then, I mean, from like newspaper kind of like Toy Shop. And Toy Fair and Lee's Toy Review all had ads for He-Man toys. So, but
good deal.
So I've still have this and a bunch of others on my wall over here. But anyway, Mantana, the evil spy with pop out eyes, is who we're talking about today. And it's like most people know, there's not a He-Man character I heavily dislike. When I say heavily dislike, I'm talking referencing Man at Arms and Tila. But Mantana is, he's a biggest staple of Master of the Universe lore as Hordak is. Like, when you think Hordak, you think, ask any fan, you could ask a name, two Horde members besides Hordak. And I'd say most likely that those people are going to say at least Mantana, Leech, or Grizzlor.
Yeah.
One of, you know, two of those three are going to get mentioned. It's just, you know, and
in my opinion, Mantana also the most underrated Horde member, but we'll get to that later, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree so too, but fortunately enough, the character has been utilized quite a bit, but not in the sense that you feel like the character has seen his full potential. You know, it's, you know, he was featured in, you know, some of the mini comics, but didn't have anything to do, pretty much. His probably taking on Cobra Khan in the Hordak mini comic, and he zaps the hell out of him and then takes on He-Man one-on-one in the Bashasaurus, you know, so it's...
Well, think of it as his main mini comic, the one that he's on the cover of, Mantana the Menace of the Evil Horde. He didn't do anything. It's like, wow, you think, hey, this is his time to shine. It's like, he didn't do nothing. What? I think they should have just called it the Menace of the Evil Horde. I mean, the whole thing of Mantana was irrelevant. He had no time to shine in that. And it was a shame because, you know, in the cartoon, he got turned into a joke character. He was basically Hordak's little sucker that he would always drop down that trap door. He was always, you know, having his eyes get tangled. But then along the same lines, when you look at it, Mantenna accomplished a lot compared to most other Horde members. The amount of different beams he has, from eye beams to stun rays to, you know, things that, you know, disrupt the legs, freeze rays. He had a ton of things that his eyes did, but then he actually accomplished stuff. He would actually, like, I think, heck, he even got He-Man wobbly legged. I mean, he took care of Bo, yeah. I think, one time with stuff. He's done things, but I think because he's gotten picked on so much and thrown down that trap door and is the butt of Hordak's, I guess, you know, anger, or, you know, to always let me lash out at somebody, you overlook at all the stuff he does. Because then you think, like, let's say somebody for Catcher, for example, you think, wow, now Catcher, she's bad boy. She's doing a lot of stuff. You know, you take her seriously because maybe she's not getting joked as much. But then you think of her, somebody who turns into a panther, and you think, my God, that is the most ferocious, vicious thing. And of course, they're not going to show blood in a cartoon, but you're turning into a panther. You're going to do some stuff. What does she do? She jumps in a well. She jumps into a wall. She jumps into a horror trooper helmet. She's almost did nothing in her panther form. But she gets more respect than Mantenna, which drives me nuts because Mantenna done a lot. I feel, you know, so bad.
You touched on that too, which makes me think, had this cartoon come out 2 years earlier, every member of the Horde would have been portrayed a lot more. Even though as a kid, when I first saw the She-Ra cartoon, I was blown away. Like, I didn't see the bumbling aspects. Like, I
the
saw
slapstick crap, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it was like the early days of the internet when I remember some one of those old Angel Fire websites. It was like kind of a, I think it's what they were called, but it was a fan site about She-Ra, and the person that who built the website ranked all the evil Horde warriors and ranked Whip Mantenna dead last because of the constant, you know, that he was Hordak's whipping boy. He or she was not knocking the character, but just saying the poor character's constantly, you know, thrown down the trap door, the trash chute, in multiple episodes. But as a kid, I still watch it now. Like, I love the character. I love the way, man. And I love, you know, how Grizzlor, Leech, they're not super serious. It would be great to have seen how they would have been portrayed in 1983, the way Beastman, Trapjaw, Triclops, yeah, and Merman and are all portrayed in that. Like, very serious villains.
Before the silliness came into everything, yeah.
Would have been awesome, but I still love Mantenna. I love Lou Scheimer's voice. You know, I can't do it. I'm gonna try to do it here. The
that humming kind of like that vibrating.
The humming noise. It was extremely unique and yeah, creative and original. I mean, and he did Grizzlor and he did Leech, and I know he had to have some sort of vocal enhancement for a lot of these characters, but it was great. I loved how he looked. And it didn't seem like a drastic. And I, as a kid, when I had Mantenna, I wasn't aware that he had four legs. I thought that those were his actual feet, were these blue legs with two big toes. So when I see,
oh, really?
Shira, he's got four legs, and yeah, it was like, wow, that looks like, well, he's got two legs here. And as I got a little bit older, like, ooh, I get it now, but. Yeah. I thought it was a drastic change from toy to cartoon, but I'm like,
yeah, his toy had the cheapest four legs you'd ever see in history. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but it still, I love the toy. I had the toy as a kid. I had all four of the, or I didn't have Modulot, but I had Grizzlor, Leech, Mantenna, and Hordak. And I loved playing with Mantenna a lot. I loved the way his arms were posed, because if you put them up over his head, it kind of looked like he'd come down and punch somebody almost. And they weren't like, you know, action features. Like, you could hold them up, like, you know, they looked cool. They were posed really cool in the eyes, the veins in his eyes and all that stuff. It was nice little details. And when you talk about, like, him being competent, like, he has a lot of competent moments in the show.
But most
people, you know, just remember him being in Grizzlor, got thrown down the chute. You know,
just not as much as Mantenna. Like I said, it's overshadowed by the silliness.
It's like the most tally marks on the wall for going down the
and that overshadows, yeah, definitely overshadows any competent thing he did, because all they remember is him getting knocked down the chute, coming out with a shower cap on, and just, you know, getting that kind of treatment. Which, again, I'll talk about the curse of things, not only with video games, but the curse of the MYP cartoon. we got a taste of the Horde, a taste of it. And I was like, oh God, I think every one of them, nothing would have been slapstick about this version of the Horde. No. He looked wicked, and so did Grizzlor. I mean, just they all did. And Lee, I mean, just, oh, what a shame. Yeah, they get more.
Grizzlor and Lee, I mean, Grizzlor looked very intelligent. Leech looked like the Hulk. And man, it looked about as gangly and repulsive as you could have.
He was
made
scary. Him. He was a scary looking sucker. Yeah. So we didn't. What did we do?
They would have kicked King Grayskull's ass. Each one of them by themselves would have done that. But unfortunately, we were given, you know,
the old choke slams. Thing. Didn't they both get like a choke slam? King Grayskull jumps out a hole, choke slams Mantana. Or
they blow a hole underneath him, and you know Mantana is. They all jump down, you know, finding him, and he, you know, takes care of them, grabs a hold of Mantana by the throat, and I'm like, you suck, King Grayskull.
It's
as if I didn't have enough reasons to hate the guy enough. The guy dismantles these three beloved hordesmen as if they're nothing. I'm like, no, they're not nothing. You guys just wrote a horrible, horrible, I mean, just, oh.
I just wonder what they would have planned. I would have loved to hear his voice, what he would have sounded like, more of his powers and
his
ability.
I wouldn't have minded it. If one or some of them were mute.
Oh, yeah, because I touched on that before about mutes. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, not all of them. I imagine Grizzlor probably would have talked. I could have seen Leech or Mantana being mutes, one of them. Not both of them, maybe, but because when you see them, they're not talking at all. You hear some growling when they go into combat. But, like, when Hordak's watching over King Grayskull's helm.
But you hate saying that.
They're standing there, like, just kind of, like, cocky, confident, and just awaiting orders. And the minute they see, you know, Kallax steps up and kind of offers his point of view, they've been around long enough to know you don't do that with this guy, and they step away because this guy's going to be dismantled immediately. So it's so cool to establish that this is a tight click up with the Horde. Like, And for me as a kid, I never saw Modulok at all in toy form. It was only on the back of the mini comic. And I never saw him in the cartoon until I think fifth grade when I rented Gateway to Trouble from my local one of the local video stores. So to me, Mantana, Leech, and Grizzlor were the traditional Horde members, especially in He-Man. And then, of course, you watch Filmation and Catcher and Shadowweaver were a part of that group as well. So it was just so cool to see that character trait that they all – I'm really getting psyched. I do this so much. I feel like I trail off so much. But
that's all right. That happens. But no, Mantana, really quick. In MYP, I actually could see him speaking almost in a little sadistic, quiet, kind of weird, more evil way. But here's the reason why. I could see them making him more beyond using his eyes to do a lot of stuff, maybe even doing more scouting ability to see further, maybe hear stuff. The reason I say this is, you know – even though he didn't get time to shine in his mini comic, you know, Mantana and the Menace of the Evil Horde, there was one part in it right at the beginning. It was the Treachery of Modulok, I believe. At the beginning of the Treachery of Modulok, where he hears or senses somebody coming, and that's when Modulok comes in to see Hordak and Mantana's there also. He wasn't looking at Modulok. I think he said, I sense something coming. So I feel like he had a different ability beyond just for his eyes to see. Maybe he had some kind of extra sensory, you know, maybe with his ears, a way of sensing danger. I could see him being more of a scout in MYP and a great fighter to then come back
and how he's depicted, you know, toy line wise. I mean, it shows it right here on the card art. He is like the, you know, scouting ahead, letting you know, hey, look, you know, we got intruders coming up.
So you would need him to be speaking to tell Hordak of the imminent danger that's ahead. So he would probably be somebody to speak. I could see others being mute, but I could also see him just being a really nasty fighter because, you know, like I said, locking people up with, like, his extra legs, kicking one, grabbing one, holding. Just I could see him being psychotic with the teeth that maybe, you know, he had. It's just...
Yeah, the Four Horsemen's redesign of him with the mouth, which they incorporated... I got him over here with the classics version. That was, to me, very defensive. And, of course, you know, it's there, but,
yeah,
you know.
It's a different
the
model.
Two front teeth are more prominent, and actually, you're never, I'm going to, you know what, I'm not ashamed of this.
I'm going to say it. I know what you're going to say. Don't even say it. I know what you're going to say because it's what I always thought. I mean, his mouth is kind of like a... I thought of a vagina. Never mind. Just go ahead.
No, I wasn't going to say that at all.
I think you're going to call him a vagina mouth with, like, sharp teeth or something.
To this day, I thought that was a nose.
Oh, never mind. Okay. Well, I've heard... Never mind. I've heard it in groups, and they talked about, you know, the with teeth. Never mind. It might...
Any vaginas on here doesn't mean I'm looking. I mean, I am a guy, but I'm like, I did not see an open.
Well, there's a crazy horror movie.
But I completely see this. No, as a kid to this, I thought that was supposed to be like a. And I don't examine the figures like a lot of fans do, you know, and that is my fault for not realizing that. I took it as because of Filmation, he's got a regular mouth, whereas here I thought he had a regular mouth with two long fangs sticking out with, you know.
The reference that came out of it, if you ever seen, people have talked online, and it's a reference to a new option. It's a reference to a movie called Teeth. That's where I've heard people say this in groups, and it just had me cracking up. Never mind.
Good grief. So, I can't believe I didn't know just now.
Yeah. So that's a different with the vintage action figure. But yes, the NYP version.
It looks really, really cool. I could almost kind of sound like or sound like he would talk like Cobra Khan almost, kind of raspy.
I can see quiet. It's a quiet and sinister voice of the way he would speak.
And to see him with his four legs running around with Modulok and Multibot and NYP would have been, you know, it would have just blown my brains out. It just would have.
What we didn't get.
We didn't get it, but they probably, like I said before, they probably would have been given the same treatment as the Snake Man wore, where there's a lot of hype and no substance because they don't know how to build up proper villains. So,
but either way, within that, you wouldn't have the corniness. You know,
it wouldn't have been corny, but it just, you know, you just would have liked to have seen them portrayed as like, you know, you can't, but they did say that the Horde was going to take over and that He-Man and the Heroic Wars were going to be on the run, trying to avoid the Horde and kind of gather their forces. So if they actually followed through with that story arc, yes, okay, then they would have been portrayed confidently and legitimate badasses as opposed to the Snake Men who look great in the first episode and then, you know, John Cena comes in and burr, 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 and takes out King Hiss immediately. So
right. So Mantana,
but Mantana, regardless of his portrayal information, I love Mantana. I love how he looks. I love how he talks. And I could see why people don't like him at all because of the She-Ra cartoon was targeted towards girls, but could appease boys at the same time. And I loved it to death. Doesn't mean that when I watch it now, I would love to see a more sinister take on all the Horsemen, but I still love to death how the Horde's portrayed in She-Ra Filmation. I do. Because there are some good moments, and I always think of Talent for Trouble, where Mantana surprises Madame Raz, Orko, and Broom with Horde Troopers and freezes both Orko and Madame Raz right there on the spot.
Yeah,
that's it. And takes him prisoner, which brings He-Man to Eternia to get them back. But
he's got a lot. Yeah.
Mantana is successful and doesn't get thrown down in the chutes.
So, I mean, if we could probably even try to one day even count up which Horde member back then in the vintage, you know, cartoon accomplished the most, I think Mantana is going to be up there as being one who has done the most with his abilities. I mean, I know Leech has done some good times when he's, you know, drained people's powers too, but Mantana isn't as worthless as people say he is. I've never thought that. He's been the butt end of the jokes and being, like I said, the whipping boy for Hordak, but he's always been, like I said, one of my favorite Horde members from the cartoon because he's actually done stuff. He was cool to watch. And sure, he was fun to watch at times too, but he always did some stuff.
Yeah, I love him to death. I love his whole design. And it was a lot of joy when I would rent the She-Ra cartoons and to see Leech, Grizzle, and Mantana on screen. It was just a feast for my eyes. I loved it because I had those toys and it was so exciting to see them running around on screen and fighting and interacting with Hordak and She-Ra. So I'm running out of breath here. I love Mantana. He's a kick-ass Hordesman. You can't have the Horde without Mantana. I mean, all these characters, they're irreplaceable. Every single one of them, there's not an irreplaceable character here. No matter what one or two people may say randomly on social media or on some sort of forum, I'm sorry. Every He-Man character from the vintage toy line is irreplaceable. You cannot disregard any of them.
Yep. And in one way or another, fans, if you guys can either get them from eBay or try to research online, Mantenna, along with a lot of the Horde, he had so many appearances in the UK magazines. I know he was in some of the UK annuals also, but there are a ton of stories that he was in. I'm not saying he was the prominent one where it was always revolving around him, but if you want to see more Mantenna love and even Horde love, check out some of them UK magazines for Masters of the Universe. You can find them on eBay, and I'm sure that there's scans you can find online also, but he's had other appearances in other places. The UK really kept him going. They kept Masters alive, well, obviously, longer than here, so that's just ways for you to, you know, get more fix of Mantenna, the Horde, Masters of the Universe, whatever, but... So, yes, that was our little wrap-up. That was our discussion on Mantenna. So, I guess before we wrap it up now, Tyler, what do you have to say before you do your closings? I know you said you got an update on the mini-con.
Yes, yes. Carson contacted me today and sent me 3 complete pages. They haven't been colored yet, but they've been inked. And they look really, really good. One of them, and I would have shown it, but Doug's not here with us right now, so I didn't have any way. So, Carson, when you hear this, Doug is not with us right now. He set us up to record, so I will advertise pictures that he said. Not all of it. I'm going to show probably 1 full page. It's not completely complete, but it's pretty much done. And then I might crop out and show an image I'm very proud of that he drew. It hasn't been colored yet, but it just looks so damn cool, like with the way it's finished. And I came really close. I'm like, I want to show, and I may even do it. I don't care what you say. I may go ahead and send you this one particular page that's done. It's not colored, it's ink, though.
Don't you send it to me. I don't want any spoilers. I don't want no spoilers. I hate spoilers. Well, yeah, we'll see.
But, there's one page, though, that does have a cameo score that I'm like, okay, this is going to look really good when it's colored, though. But Carson is coloring and inking it. He told me that he's hoping to have the whole thing done completely by the end of the week. Like, everything should be done. He's planning on taking copies of it to GrayskullCon. So any German fan listeners or people who are going to that convention in Germany, he's aiming to take copies of this mini comic to that convention.
Oh, cool. Do you know when that convention is in Germany?
I don't know right off, but when he said he was going to take some there, I assume it's coming up in the coming months, I assume.
Okay.
But I'll have to double check on that so people will be able to get it there. And then once it's done, I'm sure he can probably start taking orders for it. I don't know. In the whatever you pay goes towards him. I'm getting nothing from this. I just wrote it, and I just hope people enjoy a retelling of the late story. And if this works out, I'd love to go back and redo Mantenna's story.
And yeah, to where it actually we can have Mantenna. Yeah, exactly. Not just have
Mantenna. That's what I like to retell it. And this does not make Leech the prominent villain. He has a good part in it. But it is a He-Man comic, mini comic that is in the same vein of like the 80s mini comics. But he's featured more prominently and competently, you know, in a story that makes sense, you know, and helps set the Horde up. So
one scary mini comic. I know what's going on in here. This is just a whole lot of mess happening.
Yeah. Ooh. So I'd like to, you know, if this works out, you know, Joe's got ideas too. We talked about this before a while back too. Joe's got ideas to do stories. I got many others I'd like to do, but it would be good to go back and redo some of these that just clearly were not taken care of at all. Mantenna's another one. So, but once this is over, I will at one point this week promote this episode with some pictures that he sent. I won't show all of it because I don't want to, you know, spoil it all. And he's worked hard in getting these. And I'm as anxious as I am to show this stuff. I'll show one particular page with a couple of images that people have seen already, but it's got more color to it. You see a little bit more also on there. And then I may take one of these pages and crop out and just show one picture, one of the panels, because
cropping. Yeah. Cropping.
Do some cropping because in this one particular page I'm talking about, there is some fun little nods and images and stuff like that. It's not spoiler heavy. It's really not, but I like to be able to save as much as possible so when people do check it out that they still have a lot that hasn't been seen yet. But it's just really cool because when I came up with the idea for this panel, I told him what I was looking for and even sent him a picture of it. And by God, if that's not what he did, he drew it. And it's, I was thinking he was going to tweak it a little bit more, make it a little bit more, you know, kid friendly, but no, he went ahead and did exactly what I was shooting for. And it, with it being inked, it just looks really cool. It's a nice little touch to the Evil Horde.
All right. Well, that sounds cool. And
yeah,
well, beyond that, you know, just to, if fans want to, you go ahead and read this comic to look at sometime. If you just want to laugh and wonder what in God's name is going on, especially like where the hell did Clawful and Jitsu come from in these panels? It's like, I don't even know what's happening. Then you have the toy Zoar. Oh my, I don't even know what's going on with that comic.
Yeah. Wow. It's like hired some guy that was, you know, some intern. Mattel must've got grabbed some intern and said, here's
a pile of toys. Yes.
Throw them in this story.
That's what I think. They just put a pile of them there. Like, drums. Like, okay, and let's throw the guy with the claw in there. It's like, I don't know how he got there or where he got there. And it's like, wow. This is, yeah, it's fun to look at just for if you want your brain to explode. So, yeah, go ahead. Do yourself a favor and read that just to, yeah, go ahead. JSP, read it in the mini comic collection. And you go ahead and give us thoughts on this, whatever, on Facebook or next week. Yeah, let us know what you think. And hey, yeah, Eric Amon.
Like a big soft serve dump, you know, that because that's what it is. It's a big soft serve pile of crap, you know.
Your head is just going to explode. So that's that. But okay, well, that's it for this week's episode. So again, appreciate everybody that was in the chat room. Hope you enjoyed it. And everybody else that's watching, you know, hope you enjoyed it also. So let me just say, go to fansofpower.com. Go to popculturenetwork.com, go to HeManWorld.com, and on Facebook, go to Masters of the Universe He-Man and She-Ra Ultimate Fan Group. All great places, all great people. So until next time, have a powerful day.
This voyage is doomed.
This voyage is doomed. Oh, hey, no, see, you ain't getting me that time. You're trying to sucker me. I know my Friday the 13th Part 8. I know the guy on the ship. I got that. Don't you try to sucker me just because you got me on Part 3 with Shelly, huh? Okay.
Every week since then and before that as well. Yeah, I've suckered you
Well, I mean, you definitely got me on all the others, but yeah, I figured you were thinking, you know what, I'm going to
get last week's with RoboCop, I'm like, you peep. And people are jumping around. Like, I got Robocop. It was Robocop.
Everybody was getting, everybody in the chat room's getting it. Joe can't get it. But no, I had a feeling. I was wondering, is he going to try to Friday the 13th me? Is he going to try to do it? You did. So, but I got you. I finally got one.
But you know what? That was probably a little too easy. But then again, I thought the Shelley quote was that you would have nailed that. So.
Yeah, you think. Well, hey, it took what? 8-12 weeks. I finally got one. So I guess Joe went out on a high note for this episode. So yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I'll come back with a harder one next time.
All right. Well, see you guys next week, then.
Take care, guys.